Welcome to the Easter edition of The Christ Life. We are so glad that you chose to join us today, or if you're watching it a bit later, we just are thrilled that you're watching it because we're excited. We believe that God is doing some powerful things in the world, and he wants you to really be part and partner with him in his activity. He really wants you to be on a mission with him, not to accomplish all your plans and your vision for life, but to accomplish his plan and purpose, that people might know that he really is and desires to rule and reign in people's lives. And when we partner with them in that area, our lives get quite exciting. I'm often asked why I don't do roller coasters and I don't do the rides on the big things. My wife says I'm a merry-go-round kind of guy. But, you know, I think the most exciting things in life are not found on man-made things. They're found in doing what Jesus has asked us to do. Yeah. It's exciting. It puts you on the edge of being able to see what God is doing in a person's life. It puts you in a place where you get to the end of yourself, and now God's got to show up, and God's got to show off. And, you know, here at The Christ Life, we believe that God is alive, and Jesus is alive and active in the world today, and making himself known through Holy Spirit-empowered disciples. And we want you to live that kind of life, to make Jesus Christ known through the power of his Spirit. So we've been talking both last week and this week about turning point, because when you focus in on the cross and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changes not only who you are, but it changes how you live. And when I talk about changing how you live, it's not just about do's and don'ts kind of stuff. It's about living a life of learning and discovering who Jesus is every day, everywhere you go, because Jesus is alive and active. He's moving in your work. He's moving in your family. He's moving in the places that you like to go and enjoy, whether it's in the park or playing golf or whatever it is that you like to do. Jesus, he's active. He's doing things. And so how do we fit into that? How do we move in and enjoy? Well, it starts by accepting the forgiveness that was offered at the cross of Calvary. It starts with understanding that all of us have sinned, all of us have fallen short. And when we receive the penalty that was paid at the cross through Jesus Christ, we move into a life in him. And we'll always live a life in him. And throughout all of eternity, God has given us his Spirit. So his Spirit will forever be with us. And so we'll get to enjoy this dynamic of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. And so Paul, he writes a good part of this hope that we have in the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And of course, we touched on it some last week, but a big part of that is I look forward to the day that I am resurrected. Now, I'm a people person. I like people. And so I prefer to go to heaven with everybody else when Jesus Christ comes back. But if not, if I go into the ground, then that just means I get a head start, because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us that remain will be caught up to ever be with the Lord, because that's our hope. Our hope is to always be with Jesus. And so as Paul's writing this, he gets towards the end of it. And he says in verse 54 of chapter 15, he says, "Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." Yes. Stop just a moment there. Maybe you even just need to say those words. Thanks be to God. Because the God of heaven loved you and I so much that he gave us a pathway to not have death be something that we're fearful of or have any control of or be able to stop what God has in store for those who are found in Christ Jesus. So thanks be to God, yes, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's this next word that we're going to focus in on a bit, because it just says, therefore. And whenever therefore is in Scripture, we need to stop and go, all right, why is it therefore? Mm-hmm. And why is it therefore for us? Well, it's therefore for us because we have this great hope. We have this victory. We don't have to live a life of worrying about fear of death. We can live a life for Jesus Christ. And so it goes on and says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So when we've received the forgiveness of sin, when we've stepped into the life that is in Christ Jesus, now therefore we live differently. Something changes. And the first thing that changes is the attitude that we embrace, because there is a different attitude when we know that we get to live forever. When we know that our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Now, Paul says that that attitude has to do with a steadfastness and living literally immovable. Someone said these words. It's not a credit to anyone. Certainly is not my words. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then nothing in life really matters. But if he did rise from the dead, then nothing else in life really matters. Mm-hmm. There's an anchoring that needs to come into our hearts that we know, that we know, that we know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we who've placed our faith in him will follow the same. That, when it is anchored into our hearts, the Bible uses the word we need to know. And in our current world, when you hear that word, no, you think of something in your head. Well, if I know 1 + 1 = 2, then I'm okay. That's not what this about, the kind of knowledge that the scripture is talking about. It's in our hearts, because it's in our hearts that we believe. And for so many people, they can't explain all of the theology behind it. They can't explain everything. They just know, because Christ has come into their hearts. They know it. And here's the thing. Now that it's there, now you have this attitude that is steadfast. Think of it a little bit this way. When it's anchored into your hearts, when you know that you know that you know that your hope is in Christ and Christ alone, not in your actions, not in your ability to live up to anything, but in Christ alone. It's a little bit like being in a boat and you have your course. In fact, when I was in high school, and one of the senior trips that I was able to go on was with our machine shop teacher. He had a 38-foot fishing boat. He took us to the most northwest island in the San Juan Islands in the state of Washington. And as we got into the main part of the Puget Sound, it's just open water. And so what he would do is he would set his compass. And as he sent his compass, that it was linked to the steering, and it was on this little chain. And it always kept it within a degree of where it was supposed to be. Because here's what would happen. That while his hands were not on the steering wheel, the tide and the winds would still try to move the boat. But because the compass had been set, it would always come back to the place that he intended for it to be. And so that's the way Paul is talking about us to be steadfast. That it doesn't matter what comes up in your life. It doesn't matter if it's something that's great. It doesn't matter if it's something that's bad. So oftentimes I've seen, for example, single people who want to have a life partner. It's good that man not be alone. God created life partners for people. But yet what they do is they're willing to leave their life with Christ in order to go after someone. They're not steadfast. It's not been anchored into their heart. But Paul says when we understand that we get to live forever in Christ Jesus, then now we live steadfast. It doesn't matter if the perfect person comes around. If they're going to try to turn me away from my relationship with the Lord, we're going to let them go by the wayside. It doesn't matter when the problems come, because a problem oftentimes comes with a solution that tries to get you to turn away from Jesus. But when you're steadfast, that's your attitude is, it doesn't matter this other stuff, I'm going after Jesus. But the other part is there's this immovable part, this attitude that says, I'm not going to move from the reality that Christ is risen from the dead, and I'm going to follow after him. I'll never forget, I was younger, but when there was the uprising in Tiananmen Square and the People's Republic of China sent out the army, and there was the picture, the iconic picture of the Taiwanese who took and crossed his arms, and he sat in front of the tank. And he had the attitude that he was going to be immovable. And that's the kind of attitude that Paul is wanting us to take, that it doesn't matter what's in front of us, we're going to be immovable. That even if that tank that is in front of you now rolls over you, you are so anchored in the reality of what Christ did at the cross and anchored in the reality that it's in Him and Him alone that you've placed your trust, that you've placed your hope in, that it doesn't matter because I know that He's got everything under control. And while He was raised from the dead, I also will be raised from the dead. That's the kind of attitude that ultimately that God wants established. And I'm praying that that happens. In fact, if that's not in your heart, it's just simply stop and say, Lord, will you by your Spirit, will you just anchor that in my heart today? Will you make sure that I am immovable in all areas of life, knowing the fact that you were raised from the dead and that my trust in you is going to allow me to follow you in that same place.
Wow.
And he'll answer that, I guarantee you.
Yes, he will. Absolutely. And I'm with you on that. A hearty amen. Do that. And you used the word several times, and I just want to say it again because it's a biblical word. We have this hope as an anchor of our soul, this reality of the victory that God has wrought in Christ, that has conquered death and hell and the grave forever, that has taken us out from under the just judgment for our sins. The wage of the sin is now paid through Christ. And because of that, we have this wonderful anchor, this place where our attitude is in fact steadfast and immovable. We are anchored. It's a great phrase because here's the reality. The winds and the waves are blowing. We live in a world of winds and waves. You know, they're just the times they are changing. You know, that's a really old song, but you could resurrect that song pretty much and sing it any day because there's the reality. We are living in a place where, you know, you mentioned your own truth, you know, and just this is a chaotic world. You know, what's going to be next? I mean, who knew in 2019 that 2020 would look like it did? You know, you don't know what tomorrow's going to look like. You don't know what next month, next year is going to look like. And so you need an anchor. You need some solid something that is never going to change. And there's the beauty of the cross and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over death and hell and the grave forever. It is done. It is finished. He's won the victory. When he is resurrected from the dead, his declaration to his disciples is, all the power in heaven and on earth is given to me. And so his is the kingdom, his is the power, his is the glory forever. And so we have this anchor of our souls. And we don't have to move away from this gospel. That's what Paul starts all of 1 Corinthians 15 saying is, you know, this is the gospel that I preach. Doesn't matter where I go. Doesn't matter which nation I'm in. It doesn't matter what kind of a day I had yesterday. The reality is that the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, living a life that no one could live, dying a death and no one could die, resurrected from the dead because the Father is satisfied with the offering of the Son's soul and paying the price. Now he makes righteousness and sonship available to whosoever will be in Christ. And so once you're in Christ, there you are. There's no better place to go. You might as well throw down your anchors at that point. You might as well plop right down. This is the place. The scripture speaks about it. John writes about it really beautifully in his epistles, especially about abiding in Christ, abiding in this place, dwelling there. You know, just make your camp there. Don't come visit Jesus. Live here. This is the Christ life that we are completely committed to, not just living on our own in our lives, but influencing as many as we can in our circles of influence, which, by the way, now include you because you tune into this time that we share together. So this is the attitude that we embrace. We are steadfast. We are immovable. We are anchored. That doesn't mean we're not gracious or loving. We're not mean-spirited. We're not nasty. We're not small-minded. But at the same time, when you have the truth that is the turning point of all of human history forever, for every generation, and you have found this, you don't go somewhere else. You don't get attracted by every other little wind of doctrine that blows because this is the reality, and it's the eternal reality. It's never going to change. So therefore, that's why it's therefore, be steadfast, immovable. And here's a great one. Here's the activity in which we engage. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's just such a great phrase. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you read the scripture, always abounding, it's actually just one word in the original language, but it's one of those big words. It's one of those uber superlatives. It's like extra over the top kind of thing. It's not just, I give it a casual, okay, if I have to, I'll do it. No. I am all in and I'm all over it and I'm abundantly over the top of it. I am over full with this thing. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I just can, for just a sec, can we look at what the work of the Lord is? There are so many people who don't believe in the victory of Christ. They don't understand the glory of the victory that Christ has wrought at the cross. And because they don't, they somehow believe that you know, the abundance of their efforts have to be in trying to be made right. I have to somehow do the right thing so God will be pleased. I have to attend church, or I have to tithe, or I have to, you know, not curse, or I have to not whatever. You know, so I do this, don't that. And there's this whole set of things that so many people have, and maybe you have adopted. Maybe some people you know have adopted this idea. And they're spending all their time trying to make sure that they're okay with God. That somehow this is all going to work out, that I'm doing the will of God. Here's the will of God. Plant yourself in Christ. Believe in Christ. Be planted there. This is the place. This is where everything turns around. And once you're planted there, don't move anywhere. Abound there in the work of the Lord. Now get this, the work of the Lord is not your work for the Lord. Nor is it just the work of the Lord for you. That's the truth of the cross and the resurrection and the ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But believe me, the Christ life truth is that Jesus is at work. He's alive. He's doing something in the earth. He's moving on your friends and your neighbors. He's responding to our cries. In fact, he's putting something in our spirits that engenders our interest in seeing people saved, and seeing nations reached, and seeing neighborhoods changed for the glory of God, in speaking out against injustices, but not just from a social level, but from the depth of a spiritual reality. We want people to know God. Because, you know, if all you do is get your issues satisfied, you win in court, you know, and then you die without Christ. What good is that? We want people to know this eternal truth. And so there is an abundant opportunity that's in front of us to be engaged every day of our lives in the work of the Lord. In fact, far more engaged when you fully believe in the gift of God through Christ, when you have received this victory. Now, in this place of faith, in this place of victory, and by the way, I use that term because that's what the scripture says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it's the same Greek word here that's used for victory, that death is swallowed up in this nikos, this nikon, this nike, however you want to look at it. It's all the same word, but it's the victory. Some of you wear it on your sneakers and your shirts and various kind of little swooshy things. But this is the victory that Christ has wrought. And because of that, we live and move in this place of victory. We don't fight for the victory. We fight from the victory. We live in a place of overcoming. And so we have grace to share. We have hope to share. We have love to share with everybody. We don't have an axe to grind. We don't have a cause to somehow, we got to trumpet out the cause. We're Jesus people. We are Jesus people. And Jesus is with us. He's for us. He shows up and he shows forth his power. He confirms the words that we share with signs following. When I tell you that if you'll give your life to Christ, he will change everything. This is the turning point. Everything will turn around. A whole new day. He'll fill you with his spirit. He'll put you into this place of immovability where you can abound in this living relationship with Christ. He'll do that. I can't make that happen in you, but I can promise you that he is alive and well and active in the earth, and this is what he said to do. And I'm telling you that because when you trust him, He's going to do just that. Mm-hmm. So we are always abounding in this living, loving, Christ-life relationship with the Lord. This is what fills us. We don't have to, I got to make sure I cover the checklist. I got to make sure I don't this and I do that and all of these. No, no, no. We wake up every morning with the excitement of this is the day that the Lord has made. These are the opportunities. Even if I'm seeing the people that I see every day, it's a new day in their life. Something's happening in them. And I know God's will for them. I know what God wants to do because the Holy Spirit helps me to understand this. And the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ and the grace and the insights of Christ start to happen for us as we live in our relationships. This is what we abound in. To always abound in the work of the Lord is to live in fellowship with Christ by the Holy Spirit's power, where you are moving with him, not you for him, not just him for you, but he is moving and you are moving with him. The same way that the Son moved through the world saying, I'm only ever doing the will of the Father. So you and I get to move through our world saying, we are doing the will of the one who sent us. We are doing the word and the will of Christ. We are here to do what he's doing. And so this is the activity in which we are always abounding. And then we do this because we have an assurance. And the assurance that brings us this incredible energy is that we know this works. It says it this way in the scripture. We know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, in vain, you know, we think of vanity as pride and ego and arrogance. The truth is, it's emptiness. That's what the scriptural word means. You take a shot, a swing and a miss, woo, you know, and whether you swing so hard you screw your feet into the ground or not, it's still a miss. And that's what we don't do. We don't. Paul said it this way. It's kind of interesting. He said, I'm not in this contest and swinging like somebody who's just swinging at the air. When I swing, I hit something. When I move, it touches something. It meets the mark. When you do, when I do, when we all together do the will of Christ, when we move under the insights of the Holy Spirit and the inspirations of the living Christ, when we live these led lives for the glory of Christ, abounding in the work of the Lord, unmoved from the glory of Christ's eternal presence with us, offering this turning point truth to whosoever will, and wherever they will, and whenever they will, that puts us into this place where anything could happen. And it could happen right here, right now. Why? Because Christ is here. And so in the moment, and you read through all through the book of Acts, just reread it sometime. And as you read through the book of Acts, try to imagine they set up these miracles, the planning that would have to be put into all of these things. There's no planning. There's no setup. It looks like it's them moving by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the moment receiving the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, identifying what is Christ doing here, Paul perceiving that this person has faith to be healed, and then says, stand up. And boom, this guy is healed. Well, now that gives you a powerful place to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God just showed up and God just showed forth his power. And now you and I have a chance to say, well, that's because Christ is alive. He's conquered death and hell and the grave. He's alive forevermore. He's working in the world right now. And by the way, he's working eternally. He's already settled everything for your salvation. What you need to do is trust Christ because he's here to touch you. He's here to save you. He's here because he loves you with an everlasting love. So this is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. Trust Christ. And so this is the reality of what our relationship with God looks like. And I got to tell you, that's way better than church. That's way better than, well, I hope it works out. You know, I hope God's satisfied with my stuff. You know, I pray, I give, I serve. Stop that. God has given to us in Jesus Christ this glorious victory. He has beaten every adversary and every enemy, and he has opened this door of opportunity because he so loves the worldly, mm-hmm. us, that he gives his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him doesn't have to be in this perishing place, but will receive this everlasting life, not just from the Lord, but with the Lord, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we are always abounding. We're steadfast. We're immovable. We're always abounding in this work of the Lord because He is working in us.
Yeah. And I, you know, as you were talking, I just couldn't help but get excited and yet saddened at the power of one little word and that word of as opposed to for. And, you know, there are people that when they labor, it's a weight. When it's for, as you were talking, and it's because you do the weight of ministry because you're working for the Lord. You have to do this. But that's not God's intent. When we're abounding in Him, And we're living this life in Christ, and you're doing the work of the Lord, labor's different because it's not something you carry. It's something that's on the inside.
Yeah.
And the reason that I think Paul puts this here is it's not easy to birth something. Now, I'm glad I've never had to do that.
Me too. Okay,
but the reality in the spirit, the person that you've been praying for, and there's a growing amount of compassion, there's a growing amount of honest desire to see them change. That's from the Lord. You're laboring there saying, Lord, you've got to do something. But that never disappoints.
Yeah.
Because in the moment when that comes forth,
yes,
there's life.
Amen.
Just like the life that came from the tomb, now life's coming. That same life, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you and I. That begins to birth forth. And that's just an exciting thing.
And
that's the kind of turning point that the world needs. And it's our prayer that you will join us in this Christ life.
Amen.
We hope that this video has blessed you. If it has, will you hit the subscribe button below or the like button? You could also share it with your friends, or you could put a prayer request up on our prayer wall. As always, have a blessed week, and we hope to see you soon.